have you start by opening your Bibles up to John chapter 1 and just kind of keeping your finger there or putting a bookmark there. We're going to get to that in a minute. And while you're doing that, I just want to tell you a story that I heard this week. There was a guy who didn't want to go to church. And he told his mom, he got up and he says, "I don't want to go to church." And she says, "What are you talking about? Get out of bed, get ready, and go to church." And she says, he says, "I'll give you two reasons why I don't want to go. First, I don't like those people. And second, they don't like me." And his mother said, "Well, I'll give you two reasons why you should go. First, you're 41 years old. And second, you're the pastor." Now, that wasn't a problem I had this morning, because I love you, and I'm pretty sure you love me, and I wanted to be here this morning. I'm excited about what God's doing in our midst. I think that he's been doing a neat work over the last year, especially these last couple of months. I got to spend some time with a couple of pastor friends of mine on Friday afternoon. We met at a coffee shop in Des Moines and just kind of talked about the neat things that God's doing across the board, really. I mean, he's working just as much in their churches as he is in this church. And we were just, it was fun to share story after story of just seeing God's hand at work. And so, and I told him about Back to Church Sunday. And actually, I told my friend Zane about it a few weeks ago. And he didn't have the time to really organize the promotion that we're going through. But he's encouraging his people to kind of use that day as a reason to invite people to church. And it's important to have community. It's important to have a fellowship of believers. And so what I want to do today is just give you a little bit of my top 10 reasons why I like to come to church, why I like to be part of a fellowship community. And then I also want to go into just what church can do for people, what being a part of a community can do in and through you to help you impact other people. And so I'll just jump right into it. Reason one to come to church, because I want to grow. Now, is growth possible on our own? Absolutely. Can we grow in our relationship with God without being a part of a community? To a certain extent, yes. But it's proven that you can only grow to the extent of the knowledge of the one teaching you. And if you don't have somebody that's in a discipleship relationship with you, it's really hard to grow beyond, you know, your own level of learning. And so to be part of a community, you know, iron sharpens iron, and to have those people that can invest into your life and can encourage you along the way helps us grow. And more than that, just coming to a place that kind of resets our compass for the week. You know, one of the friends in that group told me that it takes hearing something about 14 times before you can commit it to memory. And so we hear, you know, stories from Scripture, and we pray together, and we do these things on Sunday, and then we have six other days of the week that we kind of float. And so it's important to have that anchor, to be part of that community of believers, so that our compass can be reset, so that we can reset the list of priorities in our life. Because, you know, on Sunday morning after you leave here, God's usually number one on the list, but as life starts to happen throughout the week, sometimes he gets shuffled down a little bit. Not purposely, not intentionally, but life just happens. And so that's a great way to help us grow and to stay on task with God. So that's reason one. Now I'm going to go through these kind of fast, so if you're writing them down, you know, just be ready to write fast. The second reason is I want to obey what God says. Throughout Scripture, there are commands such as, "Let us do good things to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." That's from Galatians 6. "And serve one another in love. Submit to your spiritual authorities. Take the Lord's Supper. Get teaching. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Let us not give up meeting together." There are about 30 or so commands in Scripture that say we should be part of a community of believers, part of a church, whether that's a local church, a house church, whatever it is, but to be part of a group of people that have the same core values, the same faith, that believe in the same God, that have the same desire to grow that you do. That's important. It's commanded in Scripture to have that community. Number three, I want to be around people who sharpen me. And this kind of goes back to that first thing. We challenge one another to grow, don't we? When we see God working in someone else's life because they've really set their eyes on that prize, and we see the fruit of the relationship they have with God, we desire that. We encourage one another. We help each other grow in our relationship with God, and so we sharpen one another. Number four, I want to live longer. And it's proven that people that have a community of believers that they belong to, that desire to grow and desire to learn more about God and invest in that relationship, do tend to live longer. They have longer, healthier lives. Number five, I want to train my children well. I think we all desire the best for our kids. And the advantages and benefits that I've seen through my relationship with God versus the time in my life when I didn't have a relationship with God, I want the latter part for my kids. I want them to have that relationship early on so that they can kind of avoid some of those dark valleys that I went through in my life. And of course, they're going to have their own challenges, but to give them that foundation early in life is important. Number six, I want to strengthen my marriage. Now, I'm sure you've all heard the statistics that Christians have the same divorce rate as non-Christians, and that's true to a certain extent, but if you go a little deeper and dig a little deeper into that, actually the divorce rate for active Christians participating in a church family or church community drops to about, it's actually less than 30%, it's about 28%, where the national average is just over 50. And so if you're actively invested in your spiritual growth and development, that statistic of divorce drops way down. And so, I want a stronger marriage. I want me and my wife to connect not only on a personal level, but on a spiritual level. Number seven, I want a better outlook on life. Studies show that people who attend church regularly are more optimistic, hope-filled, and more hope-filled than the non-church people. Number eight, I want the promised rewards in heaven. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven." What do you think he meant by that? Investing in other people on this earth, investing in the lives of other people in the context of Christianity, we see rewards for that on earth. We see growth and we have relationships and friendships that go for years and years and years. But we also give in those relationships. And the sacrifices that we make to be part of a faith community are just storing treasures for us in heaven. And God promises us that in his word, and I want that. When I get to heaven, I want to see, you know, that God has blessed me for the things that I've given up for him here on this earth. I heard a story about a guy who was talking about how people really focus on the, you know, whatever, 70, 80, 90, 100 years that they're on this earth. And what he did was he took a rope that was the entire length of the room, and probably a room longer than this. And at the very end were about two strips of red duct tape. And he talked about our life on earth as these two little pieces of red duct tape versus the rope. And we know the rope goes on forever and ever in eternity. But I think it's hard for us sometimes to wrap our head around what eternity is. I mean, this blink of an eye that we have on this earth, even if you live to be 108 like my great-grandma did, you know, it still goes by like that as soon as you get to heaven and realize what eternity is. It's forever. It never ends. And so, you know, let's start investing in that part of our lives versus this little blink of an eye that we have here. Number nine, I want to be a part of something that's bigger than me, and I want to invest in something that will last forever. This community, this plan, this kingdom that God wants to bring to this earth, Melody brought the Lord's Prayer today, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." We want God's kingdom to come to this earth, and once it does, it will last forever. And you and I are invited to be a part of that. Isn't that awesome? God has this great cosmic plan for his creation. And he says, by the way, you're welcome to be part of that. You're welcome to take part in that. You're welcome to help other people into that plan and that purpose. Isn't that great? So all these little things that we find important in life that are going to just end at some point, you know, even if we have the same job for 60 years, at some point we have to stop doing that. But we can be part of God's kingdom forever and ever and ever and ever. And so let's invest in that. Let's invest in something that's bigger than us, that's going to last a lot longer than the things that we see on this earth. And then 10, I want to come to church because more people come to know Christ in church than in any other place. And I want to be there when it happens. Have you ever been part of a church service where somebody's come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ? What a celebration that is. You know, and I want some of those people to be my friends and my family members and my neighbors. You know, I'm excited to see God use, not me, but you, the body of Christ, to bring other people into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, to know that when life on this earth ends, we're going to still be together in eternity. So those are my top 10, and I'm sure I could keep going on and on and on, but I wanted to try to stop at some point, so I stopped at 10. At first, I was going to stop at 5, and then I just had all these other ones that kept coming to me. But those are my top 10 reasons why I enjoy coming to church, and I'm sure you can have your own, and I'm sure that there's reasons, you know, for you to invite other people. You know, we get excited about things that we're passionate about, and I really hope that you're passionate about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're not, you know, I hope that something that's happening in our midst will get you passionate about that. You know, I hope that the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, where God starts to shuffle down that list, pretty soon he stays up there through the week that long. And that we start living our lives in such a way that he is the center and he is the focus. The second thing I want to do this morning is I want to look into Scripture to see kind of what being part of a church community can do for you and how it encourages us to invite other people into that. And so if you have your Bible marked at John 1, we're going to start at verse 35. And the second half of John 1 is a story of Jesus' baptism. At 30 years old, he starts his ministry after his baptism, and this is just what happens right after that. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated means Peter. So what happened after Andrew spent the day with Jesus? What was the first thing he wanted to do? He went to someone that he loved, and he said, "You've got to meet this guy. You've got to see the Messiah." People who truly meet Jesus are so moved by him that they want to introduce him to those they care about. If your relationship with Jesus is that in such a way that he has touched your life in a miraculous way, that he's transformed you, that he's improved your disposition in life, you should want other people to know about that. You should want other people to have the opportunity to partake in that kind of life transformation. That's what happened to Andrew. He spent the day with Jesus, and just in that afternoon that he spent with Jesus was so moved by him that he wanted other people, his brother, his loved ones, to know this Messiah. Do you want your neighbors and friends to know the Messiah? Do you have people in your life that are not living for God, that maybe don't even know the love that Jesus has to offer, the transforming power he has for them? This is a great opportunity to introduce them to that. Now, if you want to flip over to John 4, I think we all know the story about the woman at the well. Jesus and the others are traveling south at noontime when they pass near the Samaritan city of Sychar. There's a well 3 miles outside of the town, and when they reach it, Jesus says, "Guys, I'm going to take a rest for a minute. Why don't you go find some food, and we'll reconvene in a minute." So while the guys are away, a woman comes to the well. Now, there's some questions if you know a little bit about the history at the time. Why is the woman coming to the well outside of the city, which is 3 miles out of town? Why is she doing it at noon? Because if you know anything about that area, it's hot. And so a lot of times they would visit the well in the morning or in the evening. And most of you that are familiar with the story know she had shame. She was living a life of sin, and Jesus kind of calls her out on it later in the story, but she's trying to avoid running into anyone. But she doesn't just run into anyone, she runs into Jesus. And so here's a little bit of the account that they had, starting in verse 28. "Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?' They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, 'Rabbi, eat something.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you know nothing about.' Then his disciples said to each other, 'Could someone have brought him food? My food,' Jesus says, 'is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days, and because of his words, many more became believers. So before, this woman didn't want to have anything to do with anyone. She would go to the well at noon to avoid contact with anyone else, and she would go to the well 3 miles out of town to get water. And then after she has this encounter with Jesus, she runs back to these people intentionally to tell them, come check out the Messiah. Come see this man who told me everything that I ever did. People who meet Jesus are so moved by him that they want to introduce everyone to him, including those who don't care about them. Now, I think we all have people in our lives that, you know, probably don't give a hoot about us. You know, whenever we're around them, they don't pay attention to us, or, you know, they ignore us or they dismiss us. I think we all have people like that in our lives. But if we are truly transformed by Christ, even those people we should want to introduce to Jesus. Even those people we should want to have the opportunity to come into the saving relationship with Christ. The last place I want to look at today is in 2 Kings 5. This takes place during a time of Israel's history when the northern kingdom of Israel was at war with its neighbor Syria. And that day Syria, and in the story it's called Aram, was much stronger than Israel. From time to time, the Syrians would invade Israel and carry Israelite children into slavery. So I'm going to read just the first three verses of 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who was in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. So this is a girl taken captive by this other army that was battling Israel, became a slave, and saw that her master had leprosy, and rather than despising her master for the situation that she was in, recommended, why don't you go to Syria? Because there's a God there that can cure you. So not only should we want our loved ones to have this opportunity to come to know Christ, not only should we have those people that maybe don't like us very much and maybe look down on us, but even our enemies, even those who cause us trouble and turmoil in life. Because this relationship with God is bigger than any of those things. This opportunity for eternal life is open to everyone. And who are we to decide who should have that opportunity and who shouldn't? We have an opportunity in our hands through a program that started several years ago, Back to Church Sunday. Now, some of you might be excited about this, and others might think this is a very commercial thing, and how can this be part of the plan that God has? But I think it is. Because even if we weren't doing the big promotional stuff with Back to Church Sunday and not watching the funny videos and not having the postcards and the handout invitations, the point is, like we talked about last week, we're called to bear fruit. We're called to reach outside of ourselves into the rest of the world and introduce people to the love that Jesus Christ has to offer. And so this is just one of the ways that we can do that. So I don't know if you're excited about this or maybe you have second thoughts and you kind of have your doubts about this, but I want to encourage you to just participate. You don't have to use the postcards. You don't have to use the invitation cards, but ask somebody to come with you to church. Give them that opportunity to hear the gospel message. You know, we set some goals for ourselves several weeks ago, and we decided together as a body that these would be our three goals for the year. And one of those goals is to be priests, to share the gospel with people. This is a way that we can do that. You don't have to be Bible scholars to share the love of Christ with someone. You just have to let them know that they're important enough that you want them to be part of this community of believers. I think each and every one of you that I've met with loves being part of this church family. There's a lot of cool things that God's doing through the people here. So why would we want to be exclusive with that? Why wouldn't we want to share that with other people? So I'm excited to see the people that God's going to bring through this program, the things that he's going to do. I'm excited to see those people that maybe have been on your heart for a while and for one reason or another, they don't get invited. You know, maybe it's that thing of on Sunday morning and you're thinking a lot about them, and by Wednesday or Thursday when you see them, you know, it's already kind of a distant memory in your mind. So, but what I want to do right now is I want to ask the ushers to come up, and I want to help us put this on paper, because when we write something down, we tend to remember it better. And so I'm going to have them pass out some what are these things called? These card things. Can't remember what they're called. Index cards, that's what they're called. And I've only got like 4 or 5 pens here, but I'm kind of counting on the every mom has a pen in their purse thing. And so we're just going to make sure that everybody in here gets a card, and I'm going to have Isaac show a video. This is called, what's the video called, Isaac? Reasons Why. And so we're going to watch this video, and while we're doing that, I want you to take a card and write down the names of 3 to 5 people that you would like to see come to church.
Here's a few reasons why people don't go to church.
I can't come to church until I get my life together.
Church is how I got my life together.
Church is filled with a bunch of hypocrites.
And there's always room for one more.
All they care about is your money.
They care about me, not about my money.
Is there some kind of dress code?
Yes, the code is wear some clothes.
Church, it just makes me nervous.
I was nervous at first, and then I felt right at home.
I'm not sure I believe everything that you believe.
But you can still belong.
Church is for wimpy, girly men.
You want to say that again?
If you knew me and what I've done, you wouldn't want me.
If you knew me and what I've done, you wouldn't be worried.
You can come to my church even if you were brought up Catholic,
Baptist,
Methodist,
Jewish,
Mormon,
Lutheran,
Pentecostal,
Presbyterian,
Church of Christ,
Southern Baptist.
A little bit of everything and a whole lot of nothing.
See, it's not about a religion, it's about a relationship.
So please, come to my church.
Where nobody's perfect.
Where beginners are welcome.
Where socks are optional,
but grace is required.
Where forgiveness is offered.
Where hope is alive.
And where it's okay to not be okay. Really.
Don't leave here with a blank card. Make sure you write a couple names on that. I think everybody knows people that don't have a church community to belong to. And so even if you're a visitor with us today, you don't have to invite them to this church. Invite them to your church. Invite them to somewhere that they can hear the gospel message and have an opportunity to come into that relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's easy, especially with Back to Church Sunday. I'm trying to make this as easy as possible for you. I've given you the postcards. I've given you the invite cards. You don't hardly have to remember anything. As a matter of fact, I've even got a script for you, so repeat after me. Hi. September 16th is National Back to Church Sunday. Would you come with me to church? It's that easy. Well, you don't have to say that part. You could say that if you want. So invite someone, invite a lot of people. And, you know, we have it set up to where, you know, we're going to have a potluck dinner afterwards, and on the back of your bulletin it talks about what to bring, and make sure you bring extra sandwiches for visitors that we might have that day. Another important thing to remember is if you invite someone, make sure you're there that day, because it's going to be really weird if you invited someone and then they show up and you're the only person that they were going to know and they're not there. It's really weird. And so Make sure that you're there. And also, the following Sunday, we're going to have a little bit of a follow-up that we're going to give the visitors an opportunity to eat breakfast with me and my family. So ask some questions about us to get to know the church a little bit better. And so we're really trying to be intentional about, you know, not just making this a one-and-done thing, but really making this part of our church's DNA to reach outside of ourselves and to make sure that we're a welcoming church. You know, I talked about a few months into my time here about a dream that I had of this church being a beacon of light for this area, for this community. And I think this is the way we do that, is by being inviting, not being exclusive, making sure, you know, we're the church that invites people. You know, and that might get annoying to some people, but I think it'll be cool. I think that God's going to bless us with this. And like I said, if they don't come to this church, you know, encourage them to go somewhere, because we want everyone to have the opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for trusting us with this huge privilege and honor of being your hands and feet in this world. And Lord, part of that is encouraging others to partake in a community of fellowship and a community of faith. Lord, that looks different to a lot of people. To some people, it looks like a church building. To others, it's a house church or a home church or a small group study or you know, something. But you tell us in your word that we need community, that we need each other in this journey of life, Lord. And so we're just trying to be a small part of that as Bangor Liberty Friends Church. And I pray, Lord, that we can be excited about this, that we maybe have those people that have been on our minds for weeks or months or even years. And Lord, this is the time for us to step out of our comfort zone and to really encourage them to partake in this, to be part of our community of believers here. So Lord, we just ask that you give us boldness. Remind us often to pray for these people, Lord, as we're working up the courage to invite them, to just pray for them and look for that opening that you're going to provide for us to step in there and give that invitation. Lord, we thank you so much for who you are and for the work that you're doing in our lives and in the life of this church. Lord, pray that we can just continue to be obedient as you lead. And Lord, give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.